And the day too, maybe.
Good. Tuesday night. Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
The topic on the sheet says we're going to be talking about damage done during Peru and the last months. And we're going to try and link the two of it, actually.
Okay.
So there's two stories. We started with two stories. I think some of the senior Manchester residents might remember. And Tim Dante told this story. He said that many years ago in Purim, there was a bunch of floats going around Manchester. And one of the floats landed up knocking over Diane Krause's wall.
Yeah, well, I remember.
Yeah, remember that? Yeah. So the Shida arose that was Purim. And do they have to pay for damage which was done on Purim and then knocked over the wall? Second story was a story in Gated, actually. It was a drunk bocher. And he was walking down the street, and every car that he walked, he had a bottle. Well, he had a bottle. Bottle probably didn't last very long. But every car he walked down, he was smashed the mirrors. Every car that he walked down. After Purim, Bala was approached him. He said, "You know, you smashed my mirror." It was a Volvo. And the mirror, in those days, was an electric mirror. Before every single car had electric mirror. In all the days, you had these mirrors, you had to. I had to actually reach out the window to put it in. But this was a fancy mirror. You could press a button, we're closed. So the Balabas told the Bacha, he said, "You know, this mirror is quite expensive to replace. It comes to 100,000, please pay for it." And the Bacha said, "No, it's not a Purim, I'm Potter." Where are they coming off? There's a Ramon in Erechaim, Tzimtof, Reish, Talikei, Sif Beis. The Ramon says that Yesh Omer, that a person damages due to Simchas Purim, is Potter. And really, this is codified as well in Shulchan Aruch and Hilchot Nezikin.
Simchas Purim or drunk?
Simchas Purim, as I state. Simchas Purim. What exactly it means, Simchas Purim, we'll clarify that shortly. And also in Shin Ayin Ches and Nezikin, in Chesh Mishpat, the Rama says the same thing. Bachurim ha'alechim in Nikras Chosim Rakala. Yeah, Bachurim ha'riding towards the Chosim Rakala. It seems like you're talking about jousting. The Ezekiel says that they damage each other, they damage Momon Chaver, each other's money. They probably either damage the armor or the jousting stick or the horse. They're Simcha, they're doing it through Simcha and through laughter. The Chim Beshara Divar Simcha, and any other matter of Simcha. Hoyle Venagu came to Torah, because that is the Minig, therefore you're Potter. Ramon, where does it come from? It comes from a mission in Sukkah. Mission in Sukkah says at the end of Sukkah, so after Shmini Atzeres, It says, Tinoikos, Miyad Tinoikos, Shoutim Esregeim, the Esregeim, Shoutim Lulovim, Oichme Esregeim. They would grab the Lulovim and eat the Esregeim. So it's unclear what the Mishnah means. Miyad HaTinoikos could be translated that from the hands of the Tinoikos, from the children, they would grab the Lulovim and eat the Esregeim. Or you could translate it that immediately the Tinoikos, children used to grab out their lulavim and eat their sregim. So Tosafot says, both of those pshatim could be correct. The first pshat is that the adults used to go and used to grab the children's sregim and eat them. They used to grab the children's lulavim and ruin them. The second pshat is that the children, as soon as they had no need for their lulavim, they used to go straight away and do something else with them. Now, according to the first pshat, why were they allowed to do that? Why were the adults allowed to grab their sregim and the lulavim of the children and ruin them and eat them? Now, there has to be a distinction made that even if it damages the prohibition of doing damage and the obligation to pay for doing damage are not interdependent, meaning that there could be also to do damage, but you don't necessarily have to pay. When it's forbidden to do causative damage to someone, you can't be goyim hezek to someone, but you don't necessarily have to pay. The chiyuv to pay for damages doesn't necessarily have to come about for a person who didn't issa masik. Because if a person does damages unwittingly, unknowingly, he's still obligated. Adam mur la'olam, a person who considered that he's always chayv, is always considered a deliberate damage, and he's chayv to pay it. So if a person is driving, and he loses control of his car, and he smashes into someone's wall, he has to pay for the wall, even though it was total shaygig and oynes, he didn't do any issa. He didn't do anything wrong. He was an oynes, he was a shaygig, but nevertheless, because he damaged, he considered he has to pay. So, over here we have to ask the question, why were people allowed to grab the esregim from people, the ketanim's hands and eat them? They're damaging the ketanim. How could that be mutter? So therefore, Tosafot says that because they were noeg like that, it's mutter. That's what the Rosh says as well. Because they were noeg like that, that was mutter.
Who says that's the hatter?
The Rosh, huh?
Who says that's the hatter?
Oh, because they were noeg. So the question is, just simply because that's the medic.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was always brought up with the phrase that just because everyone's jumping off the bridge doesn't mean you have to do as well.
No.
Yeah. So does that, do you not say the same? Just because everyone's being mazik someone, damaging other people in a forbidden manner, does that mean that I can also? Sure not, right? So it's not 100% clear the possible. The person don't say the mefurish why it should be permitted. There's two svaras that are raised. The one is in Ur Chaim, in Prima Godim Ur Chaim, in Tofresh Sadekei, on the Mogan of Rom, I think it's his test. The Prima Godim says that Mochri Hadod, where he's talking about damaging on Purim, he says Mochri Hadod, the people are Mocha. Meaning that there's an understanding that when people do damages on Purim, because you're doing it, B'tech Simcha, B'tech Islahavus. So everyone understands that you might cause someone else damage, so you're going to damage me, I'm going to kill you, I damage you, you're going to kill me. It's a reciprocal arrangement. And the same thing can be Bachurim Harich in the Kras Chosam Mekabah, when the Bachurim are riding towards each other at the Chasana, they go dancing towards each other. They understand that when you ride a horse at someone holding a 10-foot lance, it's quite likely he's going to be damaged. And vice versa, it's quite likely if he's not riding at you on top of a horse with a 10-foot lance, he's going to damage you. So, you go to that, that's what you're going in for a penny, in for a pound, you might get damaged, you might damage him, we're fine with it, we're okay with it. The Darkei Moshe in Cheshire Mishpat, it seems slightly more from his Lashon, perhaps you could say, that there was a takona made. The different cities and the towns made a takona, they instituted a takona that we're going to create such a situation when people can be freilach on Purim, people can be joyful on Purim, and no one's going to claim any damages from each other. Why? Because it's part of the Simcha. What's the nafkamina between the two reasons? What's going to be the difference? The difference is going to be if you see someone standing outside his house saying, don't come and damage me. Don't smash my car. Don't break my wall. Don't dance on my table. So if he's forbidden people from coming, he's obviously not moichel. But on the other hand, if there's an instituted takona, then you can't get around it. It's an instituted takona. Now, as we said, you mentioned before that it's Dafke who mentioned, someone mentioned Dafke if he's doing this at Simchim, right? So that's what the Pesukim is saying. The Magen Avraham already says that. It's only if you do it with intention of Simcha. A classical example would be if you have a group of Bachurim together in a house and they're dancing together and they get up on the table and they dance. A table is not usually meant for dancing on, so the table collapses. So that's Mitecha Simcha. Mitecha dancing, Mitecha Simcha. In the case of the guy who was walking, the Bachur was walking down the street smashing people's glass, windows, mirrors, he wasn't necessarily doing Mitecha Simcha, he was doing Mitecha Shikrus. That means that he wanted to be let out his angst and his anger after being in yeshiva for 5.5 months, and he needed to let out his frustration. So he decided to smash car mirrors instead. It's a very nice exercise, it's just going to cost you lots of money, and you're not allowed to do it. Sorry? Yeah. And in fact, I remember there was when I was already married, but there was a boy in Chevron Yeshiva who was right through the winter's money, who was constantly having friction with the. With an all about various incidents and various things, and on Purim he smashed a couple of windows. Yes. So L'chayra, his smashing a couple of windows had nothing to do with Simcha and all to do with revenge. So in such a case, you would not say that he's potter. In the case of the wall, I don't know where to put the wall. Dan Krauss's wall, I'm not sure where to put it. Because on the one hand, they definitely had no kavanah lahazik. People don't knock over people a wall with intention to be mazik, especially not if you're going to have to pay an excess on that float.
Yeah.
Is it a Techa Simcha? It depends. It depends why he cracked. If you lost control, then it's probably a regular magic. If it's an instituted takona that Techa Simcha, you potter, so it could be his potter as well, because the whole reason he was driving a float down the street with a band on it with dancing bachel was because of Simcha's Purim. So it's true he wasn't actually mazik Techa Simcha, but it came about because of the Simcha, so it could be his potter.
What happened?
Hmm? I'm keeping that bit for the end. So now the problem is like this: is that the Shulchan Aruch, when the Ramah brings down this halacha that a person is potter, there's a few lines before that. Mechaber, there's a different story. Mechaber says there was a fellow riding on his horse behind someone else. Reuben was riding behind some Shimon's horse, and Reuben was riding a bit enthusiastically, and he crashed into Shimon's horse, and Shimon's horse got damaged. Now the problem was that Shimon's horse didn't belong to Shimon; it belonged to a goat. So the guy said, oh, it's my thoroughbred, it's going to cost you a lot of money, and Shimon had to pay. So Paskin is the Rosh. First of all, he says, Chayim l'shalom kol mashu yishum b'bezin shenifras. You have to pay everything the bezin assesses that went down in value. And not only that, Tzorcha Nizek L'Sham L'Goy Yosef Mashenif Chasud Me Asus. If the Goy comes along and he says it's really worth a lot more, then you have to pay even that added value. Now the problem is that this is comes from a Trubus Rosh, and it's clear the Trubus Rosh was happened by a Chasna. So now we have a contradiction in the actual Sif in Shulchan Aruch, and Shina Ein Chesif Tes L'Chesh Mishma, there's a contradiction. Because the Mechaber paskens that if you damage during Simcha like the Trubus Rosh, you're chayev. And there are more paskens that you potter. It's a straight up contradiction. So the Gros says, yes, it's a straight up contradiction. It's Machlukas, Mechaber and Ramon. No, whenever we have a Machlukas, Mechaber and Ramon, what do you say? It's Mechaber and Lavaraya. So even if we would go with Mechaber, even if the Mechaber does not agree with this Ptur, this all-encompassing dispensation for damaging during Simcha on Purim, nevertheless, the Ramon does pattern it. So you'd never be able to obligate someone to pay. Because always I'm waiting to Mechaber and Lavaraya. The burden of proof always rests upon the person who's trying to take payment. If the person who got damaged was holding some money of the person who damaged, then you could hold it back because he's already tofus, he's already passed the money, and therefore the moiti is the other way around. I'm trying to say I'm potter from paying, so give me the money back. There's a number of other answers to this contradiction. There's Bach in Tur, in the spiritual of Tur, and there's Bach in Tshuva. The Bach in the Pirush of in the Tur says that the Bach in the Pirush of Tur says that you have to differentiate between whether the person was damaging within the Simcha while he was with Simcha or he was going towards the Simcha. So he says if you look at the Trubus Rosh, it would seem that the damage happened not at the Chasana, they were riding to the Chasana. They were on the way to the Chasana. So the Ptur, that dispensation only applies when you're actually at the Simcha, when you're in the Chasana. If you're not in the Chasana, you don't have the dispensation. So that will answer our contradiction very nicely, because the Ramal, when he says you're part of paying, you don't have to pay any money when you damage, that's talking about when you're at the Chasana. And the Mechaber says, you're talking about when you're on the way to the Chasana. Let's take it back to our cases. The mirror, especially the mirrors would be chayv, because anyway it wasn't done in Techa Simcha. The fellow who broke the windows in Yeshiva, he'd be chayv, just because he was Kavanos al Hazik. The milk float, that was Betecha Simcha. He had the band, or whatever it was, the group of boys dancing on the back, so it was Betecha Simcha, so he'd be part of it. And the same thing would be for a case where there's a Bachram dancing on the table, same thing, it's Betecha Simcha, so he'd be part of it. The Bach in Truva says that you have to differentiate between whether the damage was a significant damage or a short damage, a small damage. Now, let's reckon about this. Building a wall is quite expensive. So you'd be high. The horse is the case of the Rosh, which was the Rosh where he says you're high. A horse is not a cheap animal. If you damage a horse, you're quite high. The Ramah was talking about that you've got this dispensation if you damage on Simchas Purim. We're talking about small damages. A person rips a cloth, he dirties a tablecloth, he rips a beggar, he rips a mask, things like that. Where they're cheap damages, small damages, the person is ready to be mevata on small money. But when you do severe damage, he's not ready to be mevata. So the wall is quite severe damage. Especially since I think in that case, actually, Dan Krauss ended up rebuilding the wall twice. Because the first time he had some cowboy do it, and it wasn't done properly, so he had to pay for it to be done again. So the damage of the milk throat would be a lot. The mirror, at the time he said it was a very expensive mirror. Anyway, mirrors in cars are quite expensive. Even if they're not electric, they're significantly expensive, from my experience. Smashing windows in a yeshiva, big windows, it's going to cost you a couple of £100. And breaking a table is also some quite significant damage. So according to the Bach, it really wipes out quite significantly this whole Ptur and you'd be chayv. What Dian Krauss did in the end, actually, in that story, was that he refused to take money from the person who crashed the milk first. So no, it's done. He refused to take money. Since Dami touched Simchas Purim, but Shumpanim Oifin wouldn't take money, he rebuilt it himself. Now, that's Dian Krauss. You know, he's a Dian Krauss. So now we're going to go to Moshe Nachman's question. Moshe Nachman's question is like this, and I believe it's been spoken about in this forum before in a similar fashion. Is that what happens if I leave Moshe Nachman's, I come to deliver Moshe Nachman's to someone, and I leave it on, he's not there, I leave it on his doorstep. He's not there, so left him on his doorstep. In the meantime, some Freilich Abacha came along, he was thirsty, he was hungry, he took something to eat. Okay, so now we have to differentiate, is he Chayev? Is he Potter? Is he a Mazik? What's going on?
Has the guy been Yotze Shlachmonos?
Has the guy been Yotze Shlachmonos? Yeah.
Has he done the mitzvah?
Has he done the mitzvah Shlachmonos? So usually actually what happens is, the usual time Shlachmonos gets left on doorsteps is about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Which I should certainly hope you've delivered some other Shlachmonos by then. But the same question, has he been Yotze Shlachmonos? So we're going to for a minute, let's talk about Kenyan Chata, whether you can acquire something which was left in your Chata, in your domain, in your courtyard. You can only acquire something which was in your courtyard if it's a Chata.
Only there, no?
If it's a, not if you're there, if it's a Chata Mishtameris. If it's certainly guarded, if it's a protected Chata. The definition of a Chata Mishtameris, of some Chata which is protected, is unclear. It means there's certain things you know for sure inside your houses. But in most people's, it depends what type of front yard. I live in Horton Green. So my front yard is very, very small. It's visible to the street. So generally, if you leave something by the front door, it's iffy, it's Mishtamer, because most people don't come into the front yard to steal. It does happen. Most people don't. So would I leave something valuable there? Definitely not. Would I leave something for a neighbor there? Sometimes Amazon leaves packages for you there.
Go past. I noticed it's full of bikes in the gardens.
Sorry?
It's full of bikes in these gardens where you live. Oh, yes.
I never leave my kids' bikes in the
front. I don't know.
It says yes, London. Yes,
Amazon leave parcels there?
Amazon do leave parcels there, but Amazon I'm not worried about, because Amazon just sent you a new one.
Yeah.
So that's I'm not sure if it's a Chatzah Mishtamer. But let's say it is. Let's talk, if it's a Chatzah Mishtamer, then perhaps you are Yitzvimit. So let's talk about the case where it's not a Chatzah Mishtamer, it's not God. So you're definitely not Yitzvimit. Now, who does it belong to? It can't belong to the receiver, because the receiver is not acquired in his name. So it still belongs to the Mason. The Mason, on the other hand, thought he was given it to the receiver. So do we say it's Mistalik? We do find by a Goy, when a Goy sells a piece of land, so the Gemara says that if a Goy sells a piece of land, their Kenyan is Nigma Bekesef. The Goy's Kenyan is Nigma Bekesef, it finishes with money. So when the Jew gives money to the Goy to buy the land, the Goy steps back from the land, he's Mistalik himself, he leaves the land. The Yid has no intention to acquire the land, he claims the land, until he gets his shtar. So the Gemara says that if someone comes along and does a chazaka, they're going to the land. They're going it. He does have to pay. There's Gromer cases, there's Mazer cases, but let's leave that aside. But meaning that the land becomes ownerless for a short while because the giver has stepped back from the land and the receiver has not yet received it. This is a unique situation to a goy. We only say this by a goy. But by a yid, the receiver says in Simon Resh Tzadik Zion, I think it is, that by a yid, it's always interdependent. That means if I give you a gift and we haven't done a proper kinyan, so I know that you're not Tzemech Das, you haven't got full any mind to acquire it because you haven't done a proper kinyan, so Mamela, I don't have proper intent to give it over yet. We're always interdependent. So, if I come and drop something off on your doorstep, if I know that you can't be kinyan it yet, so it still remains mine because I know you haven't got Tzemech Das, you haven't had any mind to do it, so I know it still belongs to me. Because the Jews always work with Kenyanim, so we know that it does not yet belong to you. So it would seemingly come out that if the Bacha came along and decided to have a drink, the Dintoy would be with the giver, and then he'd have to come along and decide whether he's Chayiv or not, Mitech Simchas Purim or not. Now, is a Bacha who steals food because he's hungry and drunk, is that called a Din Mazik? He has intent to be Mazik, or is Mitech Simchas Purim? Simchas Purim, when you're dancing and I grab a bottle of wine off you, that's Simchas Purim. But when he's walking on the street and he's thirsty and he steals so much Nachmanos from his stuff, is that called manis? There's a Kiva Iger in Erhaim on that halacha. Kiva Iger says like this. Yeah. The Chuvus Marimins specifically, finds in Chuvus Marimins, the Marimins writes like this. I found in the Chuvah of Rabbi Tuvia b'Shem Rivom that any food that the Bochram chat because of Simchas Purim, I feel shalei b'shus, even against your will. Mishas Mikro Megillo. From when you start laying Megillah the first night, and Seif Seudas Purim, until the end of Seudas Purim, Shein Beis Leilos V'yem Echot. Two nights and a day, Ein B'zeh Mishum Gezel. There's no Gezel, but Ein Laz Minam B'bezin Al Kochi. Can't even bring the Zid in Torah about it. Who the Trumas Adeshin? The Trumas Adeshin brings this. So the way the Mekhi puts it down, it seems to say that there's a blanket rule, it seems to be a Takana, and the blanket rule, someone grabs food, he'd be potter. You could make a case, as I say, you could make a case when the food's left on the doorstep, that he's not trying to steal the section of food, he's trying to steal the mazik, but you can't even take him to bed. If you're in Lazmini, I'll bed in Akkah.
Right.
So that's what we're doing. Can you refer to as Al-Sukhus Purim?
Say, yeah, Machalami, Sukhus Purim, so we have to assess.
Is it a shirus?
I don't know, he says, Shechotim Habachorim. That's what I'm saying. It could be with Tachapi Techa Shechus is a mazik.
It's probably
the
same thing.
It's probably, no. There's no to get drunk and be mazik.
No. But let's say for instance, if you come up the steps and he'd be dancing and clapping on the door like Yehudim and he'd see the food there and drink it while he's singing like Yehudim, that's also a bit of, it can be a very grey area. Okay, I'm afraid of the protocol.